The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Okay, so. I have a question. Yeah. How many, I know this is random, but how many females have you had on your podcast in terms of guest spots?
Including you?
Yeah.
One.
Who?
No, you are the one.
Oh, that's I you. Am the one. Oh,
you will be the one.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times, here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Bills fans, Bills Mafia, and Peterman postulators, welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, the only podcast that recaps the 2018 roster cuts and trades, previews the 2018 season and week one versus Baltimore, and has a special guest interview, and also uses big words like postulator. It means believer, by the way. Thank you, thesaurus.com. And thank you all for listening. You made it. You waited 9 months for the start of this season, and ever since the loss to Jacksonville in the playoffs, the first playoff since 2000, you got through the Super Bowl. You watched the Patriots lose. You got through free agency, the draft, minicamp and OTAs, training camp, the preseason, and you're finally here. This is where it all matters. Welcome to the 2018 Buffalo Bills season. I'm your host, Nate, and we are going to start our 2018 season preview podcast with a lady you may recognize in the Bills Twitter community. She is a contributor for BuffaloRumblings.com, one of our favorite sites for up-to-date Bills news. She is a great Twitter follow. You can find her at Steffi Tweets. She lives in Boston in the heart of Patriot country while still repping the Bills. I'm joined by Steffi. Steffi, it's great to have you on the podcast. How are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
I am doing well. I'm doing well. Thanks for coming on.
No problem.
One of the things that, you know, I noticed about you is that you are a Bills fan in Patriots country. I mean, were you born there or did you move there? How did it end up to be that way?
So I actually have my father and his family to thank. My dad grew up in Tonawanda, New York, which is right outside Buffalo. And his whole family, we were all reared up Bills fans. But yeah, I've moved around a lot, but for the most part, obviously, I've maintained my Bills fandom since birth. So yeah, that's how I came to be a Bills fan living in Boston, is because when I moved here, I just maintained that fandom status.
Yeah. Well, how were you able to find other Bills fans in that area?
Yes. So I'm actually involved with Bills Backers Boston. There's a chapter here in Boston, and I go to the Harp, which is a local bar, and there's all these Bills fans. So yeah, there is a Bills presence.
Oh,
Bills
cool.
Mafia presence.
Bills, yeah. Mafia preference and yep. Presence in Boston. That's cool. Now, how did you get involved in Buffalo Rumblings?
So I had been I started a few years ago working for a couple of publications, and they actually discovered me on Twitter, and they reached out and asked if I wanted to become a contributor and take on a role there. So I took the offer, and I started back in July, and I just actually had my debut piece issued today. It's just a quick little article on fantasy football team names that are Bills related, so people should definitely check it out.
Oh, cool. Cool. I saw you just had your draft in fantasy. How'd that go?
I got a grade A, so I think it's going to be a good season, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Nice. Now, going into the actual Buffalo Bills roster, they just had their cuts on Saturday to 53 players. Did any of the cuts surprise you, or did any of the players that were actually kept surprise you either?
I would say the player that surprised me was Brandon Riley. I thought he had a good preseason in camp overall, and I guess, you know, he was a fan favorite, and maybe there were, I'm just trying to speculate, maybe there were some issues with the fact that I think he had a broken rib he was dealing with, and maybe there were other issues, and I guess he just wasn't part of the quote-unquote McBean's plan, so they let him go. But I did hear that he was spotted in Foxborough, so hopefully the Patriots, who are notorious for picking up Bills players, we'll have to see what happens there. But that was the most notable.
Now let's move on to the fact that Peterman was named the Week 1 starter. And I know you've kind of tweeted out a little rant that you had. were you surprised that Peterman was named the Week 1 starter?
No, I said it on a few other podcasts, so I have that on record, in saying that I came to the conclusion that Peterman was going to start. That's not to say I am a firm believer that Josh Allen is our franchise quarterback, but he just needs some time to develop. And what with the O-line issues that are going on right now, it just isn't a feasible choice to have him start Week 1. So in terms of Peterman, I know there were concerns this is getting a lot of national attention, and he's under a microscope right now with the whole five interception game against the Chargers last year. I think people need to move on from that and kind of just see this as a clean slate and a fresh start for him, because he did have a good performance, a solid performance during camp and the preseason. So I think ultimately fans need to give him a chance, and we'll see what happens.
Do you think, and I've seen a lot of criticism as well from national networks, from ESPN, CBS, and I think they're really fixated on the five interceptions. Do you think that's fair, or do you think that, given what you've seen the preseason, that he's moved on from that?
I mean, I think he handled that whole situation with a lot of grace and dignity, because that was just, a terrible situation to go through and very eye-opening at that time. I think the national media needs to move on from that, but because he had a good game during a blizzard against the Colts. And I think people are sweeping that under the rug. They're not even considering that. So that's just my two cents. Is I think, again, we need to look at this. This is a new season, any given Sunday. And we got to, as a fan, we need to back our number one quarterback, because this is, as McDermott says, trust the process, and we need to just trust the process overall.
I mean, ideally, would you like to see him start the entire season, or how long do you think this thing will last?
I guess we'll have to see how he progresses, but I think ultimately
Josh Allen, I would say, is going to, this is just my speculation, probably going into the sixth week or seventh week starting.
Mm-hmm. If they're not doing well at that point.
Yeah, if they're not doing well.
So, like, talking about the entire season for the Bills, we're about to start the 2018 season. Week one is approaching, and a lot of networks, like I was mentioning before, like ESPN, CBS, they're saying the Bills will finish last this season. I mean, you follow the Bills more closely than all of them, obviously. So do we. We're Bills fans. I mean, how do you think the Bills will actually fare this season? Do you think that's accurate?
My prediction is actually, well, before I said 9-7, but now I want to make it 8-8, for their overall record. I honestly, you look at some other teams and I truly don't understand why the national media is ranking them so low. I mean, you just look at the Browns. They haven't won a game for, in like, you know, they need to, they're 1-31 for their record. I just think it's interesting. And it kind of, you know, I understand that, Lorenzo Alexander had made a comment about it today, and, you know, he's aware of it. All the guys are aware of it. And I think it'll fuel the fire and make them hungry and want to succeed and prove all the national media wrong. I mean, last year there were some national media analysts who said that, you know, obviously when we're going to make the playoffs and go like 3-13. So again, I think, it's just a matter of, you know, worrying about not worrying about what the national media is saying and just focus on your team.
Yeah, it sounds like they could use that sort of bulletin material this year, and I think Sean McDermott might be the kind of guy, the kind of coach, or use that to feed their hunger and really get them motivated this season.
Exactly. Motivation is so key this year.
Absolutely. So, you know, we're talking about the season, the start of the season. What's one thing that you saw from last season that the Bills did really poorly that you would like to see them improve upon this season?
The passing game overall. Take more shots down the field, more deep balls. Yeah, definitely make the passing game, because we weren't getting it last year. And it ultimately, you know, we lost the game to Jacksonville because we had no passing game. So we got to tighten that up.
Absolutely. So, in saying that, I mean, now what's the passing thing, the passing game, that's one thing they need to improve for this season that they were very bad in last season. Well, what about one thing that they actually did well last season that you'd like to see them continue on this season and actually, you know, continue to do well and bring it forward into the 2018 season?
So I am a sucker for, interceptions and turnovers when it goes in our favor. So our defense was really, really good last year and very solid. And I'd obviously like to see that ramped up and taking it a step further. So yeah, just making, having those difference makers and seeing that. And we have some awesome players on our defense. So I like to see more of that.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Those opportunity turnovers.
Yes,
are definitely
exactly.
One of the things that I think kind of definitely turned the tide for us from, you know, being, you know, maybe 5-11 to being 9-7.
Yes, exactly.
So the Bills aren't favored this Sunday against Baltimore, and you have the Bills going 8-8. Do you think that this Sunday will be one of those wins?
Yes, I do.
Ooh, all right.
Yeah. I just think they're playing with a chip on their shoulder right now. There's a lot of talk in the media. The fans are going to be amped up. We travel well. I'm hoping to see a W this Sunday.
So I guess is one of the reasons that you think they might win, because I don't know. I mean, the talk around, you know, Bills Twitter and Bills community is that their offensive line is bad. You know, the play calling hasn't been good. Their defense hasn't looked particularly good. Part of me thinks that a lot of that has to do with game planning and coaching and the fact that they were moving around offensive pieces.
Right.
I mean,
and,
go ahead.
To be honest, we have a coach in Coach Daboll. I'm so excited to see what he has in terms of his offensive scheme in not the preseason, in a regular season game. Mm-hmm. So already I think that's a change that I'm welcoming, and it's a risk. I mean, but I have faith in McDermott and even Daboll. So I think that will definitely be interesting to see on Sunday.
Okay, cool. Cool. Now we're going to kind of switch gears a little bit. You know, I know you tweet a lot about the Bills and sports in general, but mm-hmm. you also tweet a lot about dating and things you've run into personally. I guess, first of all, how important is it for you? Is that the guy that you're dating or the guy that you're on a date with actually knows anything about sports?
He doesn't know, need to know everything, but it's always good to just kind of be on my level at least. And if the guy is clueless, then, you know, check please.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, as far as a guy that knows sports, I mean, how hard is it to find someone that's also a Bills fan? Or is it even possible in Boston?
Extremely hard. very hard. I see it from time to time on online dating apps, but I've come to grips with the fact that I might end up with a Patriots fan, and I've come to terms with that worst case scenario, but you know, love will have to conquer all.
That's awesome.
It has to be a pretty big ring.
That's awesome. Thank you. Well, Steffi, you know, they can find you on Twitter at Steffi Tweets.
Yep.
Where else can they find you? I think you have an IG account.
Yeah, I have Steffi _Grams. So that's my social media presence.
And they can find your work on BuffaloRumblings.com.
Yes.
You have an article that went up today about fantasy football names. Can you give us a couple of good ones? You know, ones that you know, can you tease a couple?
I can give you some of mine. I'm all about the Kelvin Benjamins, or all about the Benjamins. The real McCoys. I think I had like the Allentown dart show. I mean, you can have so much fun. Those are just suggestions, and hopefully it'll give people some brainstorming, because it's just fun to do.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again for coming on the podcast, Steffi.
I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's good to talk Bills, and we hope to do it again sometime soon.
Awesome. Thank you.
Before we get into the Bills-Ravens game and season preview, are you all ready for the season to start? Because it's literally in days, and what better way than to grab some awesome Bills gear that's not stupidly overpriced and also goes to a good cause? Check out tpublic.com/stores/CTWpod. Now, there, our podcast has created several different Bills-themed graphics that come on any color or size t-shirt, hoodie, onesie, coffee mug, cell phone case, wall art, travel bag, or whatever. I mean, our pieces include the popular Trust the Process Bills head coach logo, the Bills Hall of Famers banner, our always popular Circling the Wagons podcast logo, our End of the Drought chart that we are doing a giveaway for this weekend. So follow us on Twitter at CTWpod for more details on this. And our very brand new Trust the Process t-shirt.
Trust the process.
Show off your Bills fan pride with your friends and family before the season starts. And remember, we donate a portion of all proceeds to Hunter's Hope, Jim Kelly Charity, to help newborn screening. So there's some cool stuff to check out. Please take a look. Even if you don't purchase anything, there's some cool stuff on there. That's tpublic.com/stores/CTWpod. Now, tpublic is spelled TEE, public.com/stores. /CTWpod, just like our Twitter account. That was a great interview with Steffi, and I'm now joined in the studio for this episode by my co-host, voiceover Nick. Nick, great to have you on again. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me. It's exciting. We're coming into a new season, man.
Yeah, man. It feels great. It feels, I can't believe it's here. I feel like we've been waiting for this, you know.
I feel like a newborn baby.
I wouldn't say that, but okay, cool, man. Yeah. So there's a lot to talk about. We have Bills roster cuts just over the weekend. The Bills cut the roster to 53 people. We have a trade to discuss. We have Peterman being named the starting quarterback to talk about. We have a preview of the Bills game this Sunday against Baltimore. We have a preview of the Bills season, just an overview of how we think the Bills are going to do, places where they, you know, are a little weak, places that they're strong in, our outlooks on the season, and so on and so forth. So first, let's start. We have a lot to talk about. Let's start with the preseason cuts. The Bills on Saturday cut their roster down to 53 people. There were a couple of surprising cuts. I think the one that people mostly talked about was Corey Coleman. And I know you watched Corey Coleman on Hard Knocks. I mean, was that a surprising cut to you, or did you see that one coming?
Well, it's interesting because I think I texted you when the trade was made, and I was watching Hard Knocks, and it was just very clear that he wasn't catching anything in that show. But that could be editing. I mean, that's a reality show, so you don't know how they put that together. So you're hopeful that they're coming into something a little bit new. But I guess when you and I talked about it on the last podcast that you had me on, I think we described it as a good deal.
Yeah.
And I guess my question to you is it still a good deal now that we've cut him?
Yeah, it was one of those like it was low risk, high reward, possibly.
I mean, he's $3.5 million against dead money.
So that does suck. I think for his potential, it was worth it. But I mean, he didn't show anything in the preseason. Mind you, a lot of those passes weren't catchable. And I think it's just one of those things that we don't know what goes on in the locker room.
From what I heard, it sounded like he didn't necessarily get on board.
Yep.
You know, you can't really speak to, you know, the rumblings, if you will, of what's going on within the camp and if he's learning the scheme, if he's catching up with the offense. So maybe he just didn't catch on quick enough, and that was just a case of, hey, we gotta let you go, which is understandable.
Yep, and it sounds like a continuation of the issues that they were having in Cleveland, where he obviously didn't buy in there, and he didn't buy in here either. So
I mean, watching Hard Knocks, it sounded like he asked to be traded. Mm-hmm. So I think he's been unhappy in a lot of places, and he probably needs to get his head on straight and buy into something to really produce.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it won't be in Buffalo. He clearly did not trust the process. So there were other cuts that I personally thought were kind of surprising.
Could you do a sound drop every time you do trust the process? And be trust the process.
I'll look for that. Yeah, yeah. No, or you just do it every time I say it, then you're the voiceover guy. So you can just do that, okay? So let's say trust the process.
Trust.
Ooh, I like it. Ooh, goosebumps. Another big surprising roster cut to me was Rod Streeter. Now, I mean, we had seen a lot from him last preseason. Unfortunately, he had a big injury, he had a major injury last season before the season started. He was cut, he was brought back on. I thought he had a pretty decent preseason. He's a vet. They needed a vet. He was a speed threat. They needed that, and they ended up cutting him, which was kind of surprising to me. I was a little bit hoping that they would keep him, but again, I think they made way for guys like you know, maybe a younger guy on the roster like Ray McLeod that can do a little punt returning too. Robert Foster, another rookie, an undrafted rookie. So we're going to talk about undrafted guys making the roster a little bit later, but Rod Streeter, another Brandon Riley got cut too. I thought it was kind of surprising. And you and I talked about this before the podcast, Nick O'Leary.
Yeah, that was really surprising. And I think, I feel like they talked about it during the preseason game that it seemed like O'Leary was kind of falling down the depth chart. Yeah. So it was interesting to see. So hopefully it's for good reason because he definitely has some chops and hopefully it's not for naught for him getting cut.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they added two completely new tight ends from the roster from last year to this year. So last year, they also had Charles Clay and Logan Thomas on the roster, but now they have Jason Kroom and Kari Lee.
And, you know, Kroom looked good.
Yeah.
Can't say he didn't look good.
Exactly.
You know, how do you compare against Nick O'Leary? I mean, it's really tough. I mean, they're obviously seeing every snap in the training camp, and they're seeing everything. So we got kind of have to trust the process.
Hey, I didn't say it. You can't just pull your own sound bites. Well, you think you are the host of this show?
I beg to differ.
No, it was good. It's still good. So were there any other surprising cuts that you thought of that I didn't bring up?
I would say Cadet.
Travers Cadet, yep.
I felt like he's done a lot of good things, and you know, I'm a little bit surprised that he was on the way out. But I mean, you know, again, we don't know the full story, so I guess we'll have to see.
So the running backs that they did keep: LeSean McCoy, Chris Ivory, Marcus Murphy, which all three of those guys I can definitely see. Now we're and Patrick DeMarco, I guess, is considered a running back / fullback, and then Tywan Jones. So it must have been between Tywan Jones and Travers Cadet, Travers Cadet looked good the last preseason game, the fourth preseason game.
I thought so, you know? And that's why that's the surprise for me is, but you know, we'll have to see.
I think he'll be on a short list if somebody gets injured from those four guys ahead of him, that he will come back. I don't think it was a matter that they didn't like him. I think it was probably just he and Tywan Jones were probably just too close, and Tywan Jones is probably just more of a special teams guy.
Yeah, probably.
You know, for some reason this regime really values, I understand why they value special teams, but sometimes I think they value them a little too much, but that's probably why. Any surprising roster guys that made the roster that surprised you at all of the people that did?
I can't say anyone in particular that I can think of myself. How about you?
So one that was surprising to me was Dion Lacy. Now, a lot of people probably didn't know who that was before the season. Honestly, I don't know where he came from, and I didn't really care to find out because I didn't think he was going to make the roster. Because he played in that last preseason game, and he was bad. He was bad all preseason. He played with the second and third teamers. He was number 44, if you guys didn't know where he was. And he was constantly, he was always terrible in pass coverage. The guys were always catching the ball. He was never catching up to them. He wasn't good in run support. And that goes for the entire linebacking core. So it's not just Dion Lacy, but I mean, I don't know if he's an undrafted guy or whatever, but like when a guy makes a roster and he's one of your linebackers, it's got to be for special teams again. But also, I mean, it just kind of goes to show you like how thin this linebacking core is when a guy like that makes a roster.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that too, because I think that's one of the things, you know, in the national media that I've heard a lot about is one of the big downfalls of this Bills team is how thin it is.
Yeah.
So it's very possible that they said, you know, we need another linebacker.
Yes. And I want to talk about the depth later on when we talk about the season preview, because, you know, that's something that luckily they didn't have to deal with a lot last season as far as injuries go, but we'll talk about that. A friend of the podcast, defensive end Mike Love, the undrafted rookie, got cut from the 53-man roster but was ultimately signed to the 8-man practice squad. So congrats to him. If you are new to our podcast, I highly, highly recommend you check out both interviews we had with him. We talked about his upbringing, and it's just really a great story, what he's overcome, along with a sneak peek behind the locker room doors in training camp and One Bills Drive, the coaching staff, Coach McDermott, Leslie Frazier. And I don't know, we hope to see him again in a Bills uniform during the regular season at some point, and I'm sure we'll have him on again. So congrats to him. Another huge piece of news this last weekend was the same day of cuts. AJ McCarron traded to the Oakland Raiders for a 2019 fifth round pick. And, you know, AJ McCarron had that really good comeback in the fourth preseason game. The Raiders, John Gruden, even going into that game, was saying that he didn't think that they had, he didn't have the backup quarterback necessarily on his roster, even though EJ Manuel had a really good fourth preseason game. And AJ McCarron, the Bills end up getting a fifth round pick for him. So a guy that wasn't going to be the starter and probably wasn't going to be the backup, I was okay with that. What did you think?
This one confuses me a little bit, just from looking at the last preseason game and seeing that the offensive line wasn't doing what it needs to do to protect the quarterbacks. We're going to need a few of them. because if they're on their backs all the time, I mean, you know, Josh Allen had to go through concussion protocol.
Yep.
Even A.J. McCarron earlier in the preseason, they thought he had broken his collarbone. Maybe that's why they traded him, because they think maybe he's a little fragile.
McCarron.
But it's surprising to get rid of a guy who is at a level of which you think he's at when you're probably going to need more quarterbacks.
Yeah.
As opposed to, yes, Peterman's starting. Say something happens because the offensive line is not protecting him and he gets hurt and he has to go out. Do you want to be putting Josh Allen in there to get pummeled versus putting A.J. McCarron in there to get pummeled? And especially so early in Josh Allen's career. I thought that was kind of interesting. So it'll be interesting to see if they bring on someone else to kind of fill that gap.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And they did bring in Paxton Lynch to kind of take a look at. Maybe they'll sign him. I don't know. I would think that they will. Maybe they just go in with two quarterbacks. I'm not sure.
Well, the curious thing about that, too, is it's almost the exact same conversation that we had when they got McCarron. As I'm going to equate this to Coleman, to where we sat here and said, man, that's a good deal.
It's a good deal, yeah.
And now we're carrying $2 million worth of dead money on another guy that we didn't keep. So it's very interesting that they're bringing people on that we go, oh, man, that's some good business. And then they just get rid of them.
Yeah, well, I think the only negative of the McCarron trade was just the cap hit, really, because they could get something for him, you know, and they weren't going to start him. He wasn't obviously the number one or number two guy. So how often can you get a fifth-round pick for a third-string quarterback?
Are we sure that he wasn't the number two guy, though? I mean, I think the whole point of the bringing Josh Allen up slowly was to let him learn from a veteran like McCarron. Peterman has not a ton of experience in the league, so the veteran role would be the McCarron person. So it seems like you'd have Josh Allen coming in at third in learning. But that's, you know, I mean, that's all just the hypothetical of, you know, what is the plan and what are they really thinking in the long term? I don't know.
Yeah. You know, Bean seems to always be working, you know, kind of trying to see what he can get for people. Like, I mean, if he can pull a trigger on a trade, maybe Oakland called him. You know, I'd be very curious to find that out. And maybe with that third quarterback, maybe they just need a warm body like Paxton Lynch if something does happen. Because if something happens and you need your third quarterback, like, you're done. You know, if Peterman and Allen are both out and you have to rely on a third quarterback, I mean, you know, your season's over pretty much. But, yeah, it is curious. I was a fan of that just because, you know, to add to the other draft ammo that we have in 2019, I mean, this team still has some holes. Let's just put it that way for now. And, you know, I didn't think before, but that first half, you weren't going to get anything for A.J. McCarron. I think it was like 5 for 19 or something ridiculous like that. And then, you know, he pulls it together. And you know, good for him, because maybe it gives him a chance with another team. You know, not that I truly care what happens to A.J. McCarron if his life ends up amazing or whatever. You know, I don't root against him, but, you know, whatever. So,
yeah, I'm not worried about him. I'm thinking about the Bills in the long term, and it's just very curious of what these moves are. Mm-hmm. And just kind of interesting to say, you know, are they further ahead if they had just kept Tyrod and had Peterman be the backup, or have Peterman start and have Tyrod be the backup? I mean, there's really not a ton of difference there.
Yes, exactly. That's a good point about the Tyrod thing. And I kind of wonder, you know, how this team would look if Tyrod was still quarterback. Would they have? Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to play hypotheticals, but yeah, that's a really good point. And you know, it might be something behind the locker room or in the locker room behind the scenes that really forced this trade. But yeah, so the Bills.
Yeah, McCarron had BO. They're like, we cannot deal with this. We have to get rid of him.
Oh, man, he just stinks.
I mean, it was hot out. And yeah. It was terrible.
So also, I mean, huge news, probably the biggest news this week, is Peterman was named the starting quarterback for week one, which I didn't honestly know if they were going to name a starting quarterback until, you know, the day of the game. Did you? Did you know that they were going to? I guess I didn't know. I thought they might keep Baltimore guessing because they kept us guessing this whole time.
I think this is a smart move, though. And did you see the Twitter post where they had the 37-second sizzle reel of Peterman on Twitter? That was
No, I didn't see that. What was that?
It was all of his great throws in the games that he's played. And there was a lot of filler in that 37 seconds too, but that's okay. No, I think this is not something that surprises me at all. because it's very clear that Josh Allen is coming along. I think we all think that he had some good moments in preseason. He had some not so good moments. You know, the thing with that last preseason game of seeing just how porous the offensive line is, the smart move is to put Peterman in. He's got a quick release, yes, and he's shown that he can get that done. And I think that's your best chance of actually being successful until Allen gets up to the point to where he is at that point, you know, where the game slows down enough for him to where he can execute under those circumstances. So I think Peterman's a smart move.
Yeah, I agree 100% with what you said. I mean, if you do it just based off, and this regime is all about winning now and also winning later. And I think that the move to have Josh Allen sit and wait is the move to win later, and Peterman's the move to win now. If you can, if you are going to win, he gives you your best chance now.
I almost disagree with you with that statement, though.
What's that?
And I've said this, I said this last time, too, is they seem to make a lot of comments of, we're still rebuilding, we're rebuilding. And you see some of these moves to where you've said it a few times already tonight, to where you start talking about the 2019 draft.
Yeah.
You're talking about 2019. And it's like, we haven't even started 2018. And yes, you've mentioned 2019 at least three times.
Well,
and
I'm just a fan of the draft.
But that's the thing that I said, I've said a couple of times, is it feels like that's their goal. And they're like, yeah, if we win a couple of games this year, great.
Yeah.
But that's not our real goal. It's the long term that they're looking at. And, you know, so be it. That's fine. It's just very interesting to see how they go, because I think most of these moves that they're making are long term goals.
Yeah,
not
true.
I mean, most of the national media has the Bills expected to rank either 31 or 32 in the league.
Yes, exactly.
There's not a lot of high expectations based on what everyone's seen.
And they haven't done a lot to, you know, deter people from thinking that with the people they've traded, with the dead cap that they have, and we'll go into that later. But yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, well, let's go back to Peterman. I wrote a post on Reddit. It was trending in the Buffalo Bills Reddit thread, which I'm kind of new to Reddit. I don't really know a whole lot about it, but I post there from time to time.
Don't go too deep.
Don't go too deep. You go to get into the black,
you gotta be dark careful. Web.
You gotta be careful. Okay, so if I stay in the Buffalo Bills section, I think the Reddit thread, I think I'm good. But basically, I was saying, you know, I wrote this thing, and I had the Louder Than Crowder meme. Have you ever seen that one before? I know I sent it to you. That's the guy sitting on the table in the park, and he has this thing, you know, in front of his table, this big white sheet of paper. And it says something in it. I don't actually know what the actual saying it says, but in the bottom it says, change my mind. So Louder Than Crowder is a very right wing, whatever. I don't care about that. But I put over it, Nathan Peterman should start week one, change my mind. So in my explanation of this, and it got a lot of hits in Reddit, like I said, it was trending. It got a lot of feedback on Facebook and Twitter. If you're not following us on Facebook, Circling the Wagons Podcast, on Twitter, it's at CTW Pod, Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod. But basically, I said, you know, he needs to start. He had an 80.5% completion percentage. He's looked the best of the three quarterbacks in the first team offense. Like you mentioned, he's had a quick release that could offset a pass rush. It allows Allen to sit and acclimate to the NFL speed of the game and the complexity of its plays. And you and I talked last podcast that we were together that, you know, Allen is a raw quarterback, and he didn't come out of a huge program, you know, a national championship, you know, winning sort of team with a complex playbook. I mean, he came from a very small division. He wasn't, you know, even a Carson Wentz of his division at that time. So this guy has a lot of tools, but I don't think he's ready for the speed of the game. And, you know, he was close to getting a concussion in one half of actual football. And with the offensive line playing the way it is, you know, I just didn't think it was.
It's not smart. It's not prudent.
It's not prudent. And you know, Peterman has a quick release. And not only does Peterman have a quick release, is I've noticed from this preseason, last season he was a rhythmic passer. It would be like boom, boom, out, boom, boom, out. So cornerbacks used to jump those routes. But this season, you saw in the first preseason game, you saw in that pass to Benjamin, he held on to it a little bit longer. I don't know if he pump faked it, which would be a feat into itself for a Buffalo Bills quarterback to do a pump fake, for God's sake. But he threw it to Kelvin Benjamin. It was a perfect throw. Guy was wide open. You know, so I think he's learning, and he's – so it gives Allen a chance to acclimate to the game, even if it's four or five games. The Bills have a murderer's row of defensive teams the first three games. I mean, you have Baltimore week one, which we're going to discuss. We have the Los Angeles Chargers, another rematch of Peterman versus the Chargers week two. And then week three is the Minnesota Vikings, which have a great defense. So so you have to trot you know, Peterman out there. He's looked good. He's one of the few quarterbacks so far that's gotten the ball to their best wide receiver already. So I don't know. I'm excited to see what he's got to see. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, rookie quarterbacks, people are like, well, if you drafted him seventh overall, you got to start him. You know, but my...
When did that start?
I don't know.
It feels like in the last few years it started. It used to be you draft a rookie and maybe his third or fourth year is when you would actually start him. So it's interesting that these, you know, we're all about instant gratification these days. And I let the guy learn. He's like 12 years old, isn't he?
He looks like it.
He really does.
Yeah, he does.
But, I mean, he's young. He's like 20, 21.
Yes,
like
exactly. He's 20. He's a young kid.
Can't even drink, for God's sake. Don't put him in a... Just, these guys hit hard.
So, exactly. You know, it is very recent. Like, you think like Cam Newton, Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota. But the difference between those guys is they came from big-time programs, and they were at, like, the upper echelon of college football when they made it into the draft, and they were the best ones by far on their team. Like, there wasn't a competition. There wasn't a question if Cam Newton was better than who was it? Jimmy Clausen. Like, it was very clear. I mean, Cam Newton just won a national championship with a team that beat Alabama. You know, so Russell Wilson had a very good college career in big conferences, and same with Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston. They were both good, and mind you, like, none of them are like, I mean, Cam Newton aside and Russell Wilson aside, Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston aren't amazing yet. This is like their fourth year, so, you know, they're getting there. It'll take some time. So I personally was all for it, but there does seem to be a very strong constituent of Bills fans that really can't look past that 5 INT game. And
it is record setting.
He's record setting 5 interceptions in one half. And, you know, I'm not going to deny this. And I don't necessarily think he's the answer at all. I think Josh Allen has all the tools and, you know, the raw tools to become a franchise quarterback. But, I mean, I feel like at some point you just got to let that go, you know? The 5 interception game. I mean, the guy could have. What did you want him to do? I wrote this in a Twitter post recently. Like, what did you want him to do? Retire after that? I mean, just give the man some credit. I mean, he picked himself up from that debacle, and he beat out 2 other quarterbacks. And unlike other off seasons, not recently, but in the past, it wasn't by default. He literally did it with his play. So, so I think they made the right call. For the short term and the long term, let's hope to see. I mean, you know, we're going to talk about season overview in a minute.
I still reserve the right to call him record-setting quarterback Nate Peterman.
Yeah.
I will continue to be doing that. Not that I have any. I think he's done great. You know, to persevere and come back, it's awesome. But I still.
one less interception, would that have been okay?
Oh, no, not at all.
No, okay. You
wait,
still call
it, yeah. Wait, would 4 be a record?
I don't think so. I think 5 was the record.
In the first half of your first game?
First half of your first NFL start, yeah. So, I mean, just looking at that real quick.
It wasn't good.
I don't know if he should have been thrown in there at all, looking back at it, especially with Rick Dennison's offense. And it just wasn't a good situation against a good team.
It's away. I have railed against that decision for months, and I won't get into that again, but it's a situation of where I think Bills fans fall into this quite a bit of, oh, he's the new shiny quarterback. I bet he's better.
Yeah, like Schrodinger's quarterback, like you mentioned in the last podcast.
And so I think he got thrown to the wolves a little bit, and, you know, things happen.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't necessarily put it all on him, but it is...
But
I do give him credit. He's come back, and I think he looks great.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see. You know what's funny is, on a side note, my wife and I were watching the third preseason game when he came in, and she was like, wow, he looks really good. And my wife follows football, but not obviously as close as you and I do. And she was like, wow, he looks like a quarterback, just the way he's handling the pocket. Now, mind you, the pocket was a little bit better for him than it was for Josh Allen in the third preseason game, but, I mean, he looked good. Staying in the pocket, making the right reads. He did slide a couple of times, and he slid feet first instead of head first. He learned that That is a big thing.
Josh Allen has not.
still exposing his head to 300-pound linemen. So
you want to get those first two concussions out early in your career because you really want to not be bright by the end of your career.
Oh, I know. Ugh. So now let's do a preview of the Bills game this Sunday. It's at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in Baltimore on CBS. The Vegas odds of the Bills game this Sunday against Baltimore, Baltimore minus 7. So the Bills are not favored in this game. In fact,
stop it.
Believe it or not, and the rest of the national media and everything don't really believe in the Buffalo Bills right now.
Hmm.
Yeah, go figure. So not only that, so we have that game. The odds of the Bills to win the AFC East right now are 20-1. Now, if I were to tell you that they were 20-1, you think who do you think is lower or higher, the Dolphins or the Jets? Obviously, the Patriots are the favorite. They're 1-6, which is just unbelievable. But I mean, it makes sense. It's just a crazy odds.
Lower than the Bills or lower than each other?
Lower than the Bills. Do you think any of those two are lower than the Bills, the Dolphins or the Jets?
At this point?
Yeah.
Maybe the Jets.
Maybe the Jets, right?
I mean, they've got a rookie quarterback. I mean, there's a lot of questions there. Maybe the Jets.
Okay.
Am I right?
The Jets are 16-1. So they have a better odds of winning the AFC East than the Bills.
Well, I was kind of thinking it was a trick question because it seems like the entire national media says the Bills are going to be 31 or 32. So that only means that if they're 31, then that means the Dolphins have to be 32 for the odds to be a little
Dolphins
better.
Dolphins have a better chance than the Jets, 10-1.
Well, yeah, this is what I'm saying. You tricked me.
I did trick you.
I don't appreciate that.
I led you into the wrong. If you knew it, you should.
You're untrustworthy.
I got you. Yes, yes. I never said I was trustworthy. So. You're very gullible, by the way.
That's true. I've been drinking.
So the Patriots at 1-6, obviously, they're probably going to win the AFC East. The Dolphins at 10-1, second best odds. And by the way, the Dolphins have completely, you know, blown up their roster. Like, it is ridiculous. The only thing, I guess, that they could say is Ryan Tannehill coming back, I guess, you know, because they've gotten rid of Jarvis Landry.
At least for the first 2 weeks.
Until
he gets injured
until he tears another.
He's got at least one more left, right?
Yeah, yeah. The Jets at 16-1 with, I guess, Sam Darnold as quarterback. I don't know, rookie quarterback. I don't know. And then the Bills at 20-1. And it should be noted, the Bills have the absolute worst odds of any team in the NFL to win their division. The Browns have a better chance to win their division at 10-1 than the Bills have at the winning their division at 21. So they're saying the Browns have twice as good a chance to beat the Steelers to win their division than the Bills have to beat the Patriots. So I think that speaks probably a little
That's
bit more
fair.
To the
That's
Steelers.
That's more to the division.
Yeah, the division.
I mean, you know, Roethlisberger is ancient.
Yeah.
And he was never very mobile to begin with. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's not necessarily surprising. And Patriots always seem to be good.
Yeah, they do. They do. So
irritatingly so.
Yeah, unfortunately, for the time being. So, I don't know.
Tom Brady has that personal trainer with the nutritional things, and it's all very direct for
regimented,
him.
Yes.
Regimented, thank you. I lost that word.
Yeah. I grabbed it.
He only eats nuts and berries. Drinks water from only the purest of streams. Flown in from Colorado mountains.
From the mountains, like some native just like cups it with their hands.
Yes.
Their Purell hands or what? Organic. Yeah, organically Purell hands. Real quick, I was on another podcast called the Torin Podcast recently. If you haven't checked them out, please do. They normally talk a lot of music, movies, and video games. And you can find them on any podcast site that's out there. We talked a lot about the start of the football season, our favorite football movies, and talked a lot of Bills there. So you'll get some interesting takes that we're not going to talk about tonight. And even the recent shooting at the EA tournament, which the shooter just happened to be a Bills fan, unfortunately. And we discussed that and more. I had a great time with those guys. It's a really good podcast, so be sure to check that out. The Torrent Podcast, I'm going to tweet out the link when it's all set. It'll be set by the time this podcast airs. And yeah, definitely check it out. Hey, Nick, what's your? Do you have a favorite football movie?
I've got a couple. I mentioned them last time we were on is Necessary Roughness, mm-hmm. You know, a classic 90s football film.
Scott Bakula.
Kind of the Bad News Bears of football. Mm-hmm. And then more or less a remake of that movie, The Replacements, with Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
John Favreau, I believe, is in that.
Yep.
Jason Bateman might be in both of them.
Oh, is he? Really?
I'm going to have to look
Bateman
that up.
Bateman wasn't in Necessary Roughness, was he? Oh!
He was in Necessary Roughness for sure.
Oh, he was? Was he a sportscaster?
No, he was...
The play-by-play announcer?
You're thinking about Dodgeball.
Oh, yeah.
No. Jason Bateman was a young 20-year-old lad in Necessary Roughness.
Really?
Played a rich kid whose father bought, you know, the library for the school and all those sorts of things. And then The Replacements, I feel like he's in there. I'm going to have to check this out.
Okay.
But, both are pretty much the same movie of just the dregs of players that they can cobble together to make a team that I think both of them at any given time have a fist fight with the other teams.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, Necessary Roughness, the premise behind that was, because it was a ragtag team, was that the college lost all their scholarships for some reason.
Doping and money and okay. All the different college scandals that you can possibly imagine.
Of course. They still existed in 1991, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then The Replacements was more of the...
Is there a strike?
NFL going on strike.
NFL going on strike, yeah.
And they were scabs that came across, and you had to reactivate Keanu. And... yeah, I love both of those movies.
Nice. Those are good movies. So we actually didn't talk a lot about those movies. So those are, I'm glad you brought them up now in this podcast. But in that podcast, we talk about maybe a little bit more of the very famous ones. You had some good deep cuts, though. So nice. So let's talk about Bill's overall season thoughts. From my perspective, I was putting a little thought into it this weekend with the roster cuts. The trade of A.J. McCarron, Nathan Peterman becoming a starter, the people that made the roster, the people that got cut. And I was putting it all together, and I guess, not to be negative, because I think I'm always an optimistic Bills fan when it comes down to it.
Yeah, that's my job, to be negative.
Exactly. I'm not trying to take your job away, Nick, of being, you know, the curmudgeon or what have you.
I'm not that old. I might be.
A little bit. But I kind of feel like all of our fears from the beginning of the season have kind of come to fruition. So things that had happened, you know, with the sudden retirements of Eric Wood and Richie Incognito and the trade of Cordy Glenn, the poor O-line. I mean, the O-line so far with the additions they've made in the draft and free agency, they don't seem to be better.
No.
That's an understatement, I think. It looks pretty rough, to be honest. There's been a lack of weapons on this team since last season. They haven't really addressed that, and they're kind of paying for it. So I kind of mentioned that with the people that made the roster, like Robert Foster, undrafted free agent, guys like that. It just speaks to the lack of talent they have at that position. If you're relying on undrafted guys to make your roster, it's different if you're like fourth, fifth round guys. That's one thing. But like if you're relying, just like I said, Deion Lacey, maybe he's a special team guy, whatever. But if you're relying on those guys to make up the core of your team, like your team's very thin. Sure, you might have Tremaine Edmonds as your starting linebacker and Matt Milano, which to this point, you know, the book's still out on both of them. Matt Milano had a very good season last year. Hopefully he builds off that, doesn't have a sophomore slump. And Tremaine Edmonds, hopefully he lives up to some of their expectations that have been put on him. But, you know, there's linebacker depth issues. The linebacker play, as far as I'm concerned, in all four preseason games that I've seen has been pretty rough. It's if the defensive line doesn't make the tackle, then it's usually, I feel like it's the secondary. They usually get to that second level almost regularly, you know, and that's not good. I mean, when, you know... Was it Ciara Neal had like 10 tackles? It's like, why is your starting safety having 10 tackles? Like, what does that say about your linebacking core? And so even when Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano were in there, I didn't think that they looked stout, even to the point where they were last year. And I wasn't even a big fan of London Fletcher, Preston Brown. But there was a lack of linebacker depth going into the season, and it's still there. And if you think about it, they haven't really addressed any of those three positions, offensive line, wide receivers, and linebackers. I mean, they drafted, you know, Tremaine Edmonds, but, you know, Julian Stanford made the team, and like I said, Deion Lacey. They're not talented guys. Wide receivers, offensive linemen, they just put, like, no money. It seemed like this offseason was secondary, defensive line, and, you know, a couple of other positions, but just definitely, you know, just lacking those things. So, and are we really surprised? Because the dead cap for this season is $53 million. So there's players that make up that cap. I know, Nick, you have them written down, but I mean, of $188 million, they have $53 million in dead cap. That's
well, just look at some of the top ones here. You got Darius, yep. $13 million. Eric Wood is $10 million. Cordy Glenn is $3 million. Tyrod is $7 million. Coleman's another $3 million. McCarron's $2 million. Incognito $1 million. And then you get kind of into the smaller guys. But no, it's kind of crazy how much dead money that we're carrying.
Yeah.
So it's. Kind
of more than any other team in the NFL.
Yeah, the second most is Dallas, which I think they're high 20s.
We're in the 50s.
And we're in the 50s, so yeah. It's almost half.
So it's over 30% of our cap right now is dedicated to players that aren't on the roster.
Yeah.
So you have 70% of the money to pay for a team in which a lot of people have, 90% of the money. So.
Which again goes back to what I was saying before, is I think they're looking long-term, not short-term.
They have to be.
I think they're leaning hard into this, we're rebuilding, and really hoping that with a ton of cash next year that they'll be able to do some things and yes. have a quarterback in Josh Allen who's experienced enough, who can take the reins of being that franchise guy that we hope he is and go from there. And that's why it's a little bit tough coming into the 2018 season talking about 2019. You're like, do we need to watch these games?
Well, I think we kind of have to look at this this season kind of with the same view that we had last season. Last season they lost a lot of talent. They traded away a lot of talent.
And this is still a completely new team from last season. That's the crazy part.
It is. We thought that a lot of that was done, but it wasn't. They're continuing to rebuild it. So and we looked at last season. We had very low expectations, and they far exceeded them. And I think we kind of have to have the same look at this season too. So let me give you some quick stats from last year on offense. They were 29th in total yards. Not that obviously not good. 31st in passing, which we knew. Steffi talked about that in our interview, they really need to improve in passing. They were 6th in rushing yards and 22nd in points for. So I mean, besides rushing yardage, I mean they were really below average in just about everything.
Do you think we're going to be better in rushing yardage this year with a terrible O line?
It's a good question. I don't know. It seems hard. Doesn't seem likely. No. And if you look at just for example, fantasy, because we will play fantasy. A lot of people play fantasy. LeSean McCoy is not nearly drafted as high as he was last year, this year, and that's because people don't think his production is going to be as well. It's like stock, right? The stock value for LeSean McCoy has gone down. And the reasons that you just mentioned, the offensive line. And, the new quarterback play in Tyrod, allows, say what you will, but he allows for more running plays because people always have to be worried about what he can do with his feet. They don't have to worry about that with Peterman. So,
and that's where I think it's, you can throw the stats out from last year. And again, like I said, this is a completely different team.
Completely.
You've got a completely different offensive coordinator. Defensive wise, I think maybe you get a little bit of stability, but not a ton.
No.
So it's hard to compare last year to this year. This year, it's just, we got to hope for the best. And for me, I'm hoping that, Dable. You sure?
Yeah, pretty sure.
All right.
Hopefully,
he's bringing a lot to the table. As I mentioned last time, from what I was hearing, he has a lot more complex schemes than they had with Dennison.
Yeah.
And, hopefully there's some schemes in there that can offset some shortcomings in the offensive line, offset some of the inexperience at quarterback, and offset some of these things and really throw some interesting aspects into the game that give them more of an advantage than we saw in preseason, because you don't want to show your cards in preseason, as you know. And the same thing with defense. Hopefully there's some things there to, once they start to actually game plan, that they'll look a lot more stout than they did.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, we're down to the time we'll tell. It's a put up or shut up, and we'll know a heck of a lot more after the game this week.
Exactly. And I was gonna bring this up later, but since you already touched on it, I mean, on a positive note about that, I mean, coaching does matter. I mean, we saw it in a negative viewpoint from when Rex Ryan took over Jim Schwartz's defense, how important coaching was. It was almost the same exact team and roster, and the defense was terrible the next season compared to what Jim Schwartz had them playing at. You know, different scheme. It does matter, even with the same personnel. So on a positive note.
And that goes back to the movie The Replacements and Necessary Roughness. Sorry.
thank you. I was hoping you would bring those back up again. Do you see me like winking at you, like bring it up?
Oh no, I saw it.
I know. We just know each other that well, man. trust the process.
Trust the process.
Nice. But coaching does matter. It can lift a team from that we thought like last year was going to be 3-13 to a 9-7 team that made the playoffs. Now, obviously, a lot of things went in their way in their favor that normally didn't from previous seasons to get to that point, but. They performed a lot better than we thought they would.
But it's that luck is the preparation meets opportunity. And I think that's what we saw last year a little bit more, is they were a little more prepared to take advantage of the interceptions, of the times that things worked out for them. Because, you know, as a Bills fan, it felt like for the last decade, nothing ever went our way. We always, you know, the call always went the wrong way. And exactly. And I think that's a little bit of, you know, feather in the cap of the coaching. I think, you know, hopefully that continues this year in terms of how they're doing it. And, you know, we watched in those embedded specials, mm-hmm. you know, that's what they're preaching.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. Process driven, process oriented. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
All right. So let's get down to defense. Last year, they were 26th in total yards, 20th in passing yards, which we thought the secondary was pretty good, below average still. 29th in rushing yards. They were completely terrible against the run. Historically terrible in, like, I believe a four-game stretch. And 18th in points against. So they were in that respect, a bend-but-don't-break defense for the most part. But that could still be improved upon. And I don't know. I'm hoping with the additions of Harrison Phillips and Tremaine Edmonds that at least the rushing yards will go down. Let's force these quarterbacks to beat us. Because I'm hoping Tre'Davious White... You know, he's one of my favorite players of all on this team. I think he's a great player. He's had one of the best, like, pro football focused scores of almost all cornerbacks. He was great last year. I just hope he doesn't have a sophomore slump. I'm always worried about these guys because we saw that with Ronald Darby a couple seasons ago. It's common. Again, with Matt Milano, he stepped up in a big way. I hope he doesn't have a step back.
Don't forget Micah Hyde.
Micah Hyde. Well, it wasn't a second year player. He was a free agent.
No, I just mean in terms of the defense.
Oh, as a whole, in general.
Like, I think there's a lot of aspects there are positive, mm-hmm. and you know, hopefully the newer guys can grow and you know, Edmonds specifically catches up with the game. You know, I think that's going to be a big factor. So. You know, it's going to be very interesting to see how they adapt and how they grow. And I'll give you a hot take.
Ooh.
Right now.
Ooh, tss. All right, you know,
fresh off the fire.
Okay, let's hear it.
If the defense can make it so the other team doesn't score more points,
I'm listening.
They're going to win a lot more.
Whoa! You heard it here, folks. If the defense, wait, can you repeat that again, just so everyone has
it? If the defense doesn't allow the other team to score more points, they're going to have at least 70% more wins.
Ooh, whoa. All right.
Can't argue with the numbers.
I see. You're also our statistician for the podcast, too. I didn't mention that. Our analytics department, our statistician.
60% of the time it works every time.
Every time. So we're hoping a lot. You know, we'll see. Again, with coaching the way it was very vanilla in the off or in the preseason. So we're hoping things. So, but what? Speaking of last season. So I gave you the stats for it. What's one thing that you think the Bills did poorly in last season that you really want them to improve upon this season?
I think the run defense, it felt like that's where they really, the hole was the biggest in terms of when teams ran over them. Mm-hmm. That's when they really lost big. Because the pass defense, I felt, like you said, it was bend not break more so than when teams were just gashing them. Those were the games that they really got blown out. And, you know, obviously when you have a good run game going, you opens up the pass game too. Mm-hmm. So I would say hopefully they can step that up a little bit more.
The run defense was a huge issue, as we just stated. I agree 100%. One thing that I want to see this season specifically, and we haven't seen Trent Murphy really yet, I want to see the pass rush get better. I think the quarterbacks had a lot of time back there in the pocket, even this preseason. So just they just sat back there. I mean, Andy Dalton had all day in that game just to pick apart the Bills' defense.
Hey, don't pick on Andy Dalton. He's a Buffalo favorite.
You know what? He's dead to me. No, no. No, I still love you, Andy. No, in every game, the guy had a ton of time to play. Even his backup, I forget who his backup is, but the guy was just sitting back there.
Wasn't it AJ McCarron?
No, in that preseason game. Not.
Well, yeah, last year it was definitely AJ McCarron.
AJ McCarron did not have a lot of time this preseason to throw. So pass rush is something. They were tied for 29th in sacks last season, which is awful. It's terrible. So I'm hoping Leslie Frazier can coach him up. They get, they have a lot. I'm hoping Shaq Lawson takes a big step forward. The addition of Trent Murphy helps. Eddie Yarborough, I think, is solid depth. And maybe the addition of Star Tulule, you know, because they had that huge hole in the middle of their defense last season when they traded Marcell Dareus. Maybe he can help plug that hole and also take up a couple more defenders so that a defensive end pass rusher can get around the edge.
And you also have to look at the progression of Edmonds.
Yes.
You know, if he's reading things correctly, he's going to be able to step up there and make some plays too. So this is, you know, I think you're right. If you let a quarterback have 5 minutes to throw, chances are he's going to make that
yeah,
throw.
Exactly.
You know, as opposed to the, what was it, like a 1.5 seconds in that preseason game, which
exactly.
was a long time for,
exactly.
for. So no, I agree with you there.
Mm-hmm. One thing I also want them to improve upon is yards after catch. Because I feel like the last few years, it's just been a pass tackle. You pass to the wide receiver over the middle, it gets tackled right away. Passing a comeback route or a hitch, the guy gets tackled right away. It's been very few instances, and I don't know if it's because of Tyrod not being able to look over the middle and find the open guy, or
he's very short,
or he was very short, and or Rick Dennison's off or whatever. It's just the really lack of creativity offensively. I want to see a guy catch a ball and run for like 5 or 10 yards.
That is one thing in the preseason that seemed like they did a lot more of.
A little bit, right? Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's something that is definitely doable, especially if Benjamin can stay healthy and continue to be as tall as he is.
I hope for all of our sakes he continues to be tall. Jeez, you know, it'd be a terrible. It'd just
so, I mean,
sad.
Those two things, I feel like there's a good chance. But no, I think in the preseason that was something that we noticed. I think you and I both talked about it, is you know, hitting guys more in stride.
Absolutely.
You know, I can't remember who specifically was better at that, if it was Peterman, McCarron, or Allen. I mean, I think they all had some good
flashes.
Moments. And then, you know, combine that with some actual complex offensive coordinating, mm-hmm. you know, maybe that improves even more. So I'm dare I say, optimistic.
Whoa. You went from being completely pessimistic to optimistic. Wow, I like it.
I'm a complicated guy.
31st in the NFL, too. Okay, all right. Well, let's 31st see what
to at least 28th.
28th, wow. Huge.
Mark
uptake.
My words.
Another hot take. So we talked about things that we want to see them improve upon from last season that they didn't do so well last season, and we want them to do better this season. What's one thing that they did well last season that you'd like to
They
didn't throw interceptions. So you'd like to see them continue to not throw interceptions.
I would.
Yes.
It's curious that they got rid of the guy who didn't throw the interceptions. So,
yes.
So we'll have to see if the guy who did throw interceptions can continue the take the mantle.
When I was making the point last season in a podcast for Peterman starting, I did note that he didn't turn the ball over a lot at Pitt. Now, of course, that came back to bite me right in the ass. As soon as he gets the start, he throws 5 interceptions in 1 half. But
so you were right.
So I was.
You were proven right.
No, I was saying that I didn't think he would throw interceptions.
Oh, then you were wrong.
Yeah, then I was. Oh, I was not right. So I'm hoping that even a few more interceptions, as long as it leads to more passing yardage and passing touchdowns, which we didn't say that before, but I mean, passing yardage and passing touchdowns have got to go up. They just have to. You can't be 31st in passing again and expect to make a deep run in the playoffs. You just can't.
We're looking at the situation. We're coming into the age of the gunslinger.
Yes.
In terms of a Bills quarterback. You know, are we going to have a Brett Favre in Josh Allen to where, yeah, he's probably going to heave it down the field quite a lot, and he might get some interceptions,
yeah.
but he's still going to connect on however many, and that's net positive.
Yeah.
And I think with Peterman, too, you know, he's got more of an arm than Tyrod did, and he's probably going to heave it down a little bit further, too. So I think that's the mentality that the whole offense is going to be, is a little bit more gunslinger-ish,
mm-hmm.
for better or for worse. I mean, Fitzpatrick...
Yes.
was amazing
yeah.
until he wasn't.
Yeah.
And then he'd be amazing again until he wasn't again.
Yeah.
And hopefully the Petermans and the Allens that are coming in have a little bit more consistency than Fitzpatrick did in terms of that gunslinging. I mean, an Amish rifle is pretty accurate.
Yes. Well, except when it came down to winning fourth quarter games.
Until the end of the game,
We threw that key interception. I think one thing that I want them to do well last season and I want them to continue is take advantage of turnovers at opportune times in the secondary. I mean, they did that so many times where they would end a game on a turnover or they'd get a pick six or whatever.
The defense won more games than the offense last year. That's just... Well, I can't say that's a fact, but it feels like that's true.
Absolutely. I mean, the games that they didn't win for the most part were games that they just couldn't keep up with the offense.
Yes.
So, I mean, the defense let them down. The offense was not built last year to be high scoring.
Score what you would call points.
Yes. Yeah. Quote unquote.
Quote unquote.
if you want to get technical, you know, with all this football jargon we're throwing around today. So I'd like to see a lot more of that. I'm hoping they can continue to do that. Like with what you said, with process, with, you know, opportunity and practice breeds, you know, or whatever you said earlier, that thing that you said. So continue doing that. You know,
I didn't talk about breeding earlier.
Something about process plus this equals that. And
oh,
if then this
preparation plus opportunity equals luck or
yes,
whatever it is.
Yes. And some of those were a little bit of luck. But I mean, again, preparation and whatever else you just said. So one thing I posted this on Reddit and one guy brought it up. Soda Popinski. Said that, you know, last year we were really good at winning close games. They have to keep doing that, which I agree 100% because of the way this team is built. I don't know if this year it's built to score 40 points. So the defense has to keep them in those games, and the offense just has to hold on to the lead and, you know, run the ball well. And, you know, one thing I'd like to see them do that I didn't mention earlier is I'd like to see them sustain longer drives. Let's keep the defense off the field.
I think that comes down to the winning of close games. Comes down to composure, and I think that's going to be another test of Peterman having a little more experience. It's going to be, you know, we'll see if Allen gets in there. I mean, these are things that, you know, for better or for worse, Tyrod had composure. Like, he was very rarely rattled
yes.
in those scenarios, and they resulted in, oh, it's close, we can probably pull this out, and they did. So I think that'll be a test of Peterman's confidence and stamina, and we'll see how it goes.
Yes,
absolutely. Unless none of them are close, and then we'll never know.
You'll never know. So unless there's anything else you wanted to add about, you know, things going last season compared to this season, things that you want them to continue to do well.
No, just because I think, as I voiced before, this is such a completely different team. It's so hard to go last season versus this season. You might as well be comparing them to, you know, 2007 Bills versus yeah. now. I mean, it's just there's so many differences that you can't really do much.
Roster turnover has been pretty crazy. I mean,
you don't even have the same, you know, offensive coordinator. Yeah. I mean, so there's so yeah. many things that are different that it's so hard to.
It's hard to quantify. Yeah.
Yeah.
So on a positive note for this, the way this season is going, I know some of it has been negative or at least not very positive, but we hit on a coaching. We don't know how this coaching could be. If the offense under Dable is better than the offense under Rick Dennison, we could be talking another win or two easily than last year that yeah. they wouldn't have had.
True.
Games that because there were games that they couldn't win because they couldn't score the extra touchdown or two. Or whatever, or
you and know. I think that's the big X factor is how do they game plan, how do they coach, and you know what are the calls going to look like? Are we going to, you know, I can't remember how many years ago it was just like up the gut,
yeah, the up the gut exactly.
Every down,
run, pass,
yeah,
punt.
Yes, it was a great progression,
exactly.
But so I think that's the big X factor is what does the offensive scheme look like and how do they execute given the deficiencies that they may have. Mm-hmm. And I think it can be a difference maker, but I'm being optimistic.
Exactly. I agree. I think it can be a huge difference maker. And, you know, from what little we've seen in the preseason with games and
schemes,
they look kind of creative already.
Yeah.
So we were kind of like, are you sure you want to give it, you know, let all your cards out? Like, you sure you want to show all your cards
it's
in the preseason?
It's a thick binder.
It better be.
Those binders are like
yeah.
3 inches.
Rick Dennison's was like a crumbled up napkin compared to hopefully what Brian Dable is showing And I think scribbled no less with like a watermarks on it. So you can barely read it.
Is that a two?
Is that a niner? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
A G?
G? Is that a monkey fucking a coconut?
Oh. That's a great play. That's you shouldn't badmouth that play.
So
I called that the money shot.
But you know, so we think that so far it looks more creative than last season. I'd say what would I kill to see a little bit of motion before the play is run, just to give the quarterback a chance to see if it's zone or man. I mean, just simple things, pump fakes. I mean, calling audibles at the line. I mean, it's not. I'm not asking for much, folks. You know, any basic Madden player can do this. Why can't my offense be in the 21st century? And I think that I'm hoping, from what I've heard from who we've talked to on the podcast, is Brian Daboll plays to the strengths of his players as opposed to running his scheme, whatever that may be.
Which is all I've ever asked for.
All we want, exactly. The sky's the limit. So, I mean, you know, and he coached under, you know, or he coached Tom Brady. So he's seen that offense work. And that offense does not require you to throw it downfield every single drive, because it's picking apart slowly, precisely, you know, boom, 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 throw over the middle, deep to Gronk, down the seam, 30 yards, get your touchdown. Like,
they want to emotionally abuse you as much as physically abuse you.
Exactly. Which they've done. Yes. So I want something like that. Can I get some abuse?
Can we emotionally abuse some people?
I just don't want to be abused. I want to abuse other people.
Exactly.
Exactly.
It's a good philosophy for life.
For life in general, not just football, but so coaching, that's not a quantifiable thing. I think I'm hoping that this season will be. Another positive note is, you know, I want to end on this. The Bills have, with the AJ McCarron trade, the Bills have 10 draft picks in 2019. So we talked about, and not only that, besides the 10 draft picks they have in 2019, they have over $90 million in cap space, according to SpotTrack. So even though they're in a huge deficit with the dead cap we talked about.
Who just got a $90 million contract? Was it?
Khalil Mack.
Okay.
$90 million guaranteed.
So we could afford him.
Exactly.
For a year.
His entire contract for a year. So all of the issues that they had, maybe linebacker depth, offensive linemen, hopefully weapons, they can actually buy a wide receiver for once. Or an offensive lineman, a good guard or a tackle or whoever.
We can get Sammy Watkins back for that kind of money.
Yeah, pass, hard pass. So I wanted to end the podcast on a positive note, Nick, I know you had some other topics. Is there anything else that you wanted to discuss before we ended it? You had some interesting
items? I mean, if you want me to go there, I can. I think we can. If you want to leave it on a positive note, then I probably should.
Yeah, this is kind of like off the board Bills stuff. So, I mean, if people want to tune out for now, they can.
It's a bit of a ridiculous. I don't know if it's a rant yet. It might be.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. If you saw on Deadspin, there was an article talking about an article written by Politico, which is a politics site, which I do read. Mm-hmm. And they essentially linked Timothy McVeigh, the guy who blew up the building in Kansas City back...
Oklahoma City.
Yeah. It was a while ago.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You're old.
They said that he got so depressed by the Bills Super Bowl loss that caused him to go blow up a building.
Wow.
It's like, come on.
They made that and...
It's a real straw man sort of argument to try to link something. It's like, you could have easily said, you know, he's really bummed out about Seinfeld ending.
Yeah.
So he went and blew up a building. It's like, why are we linking it to the Bills and making it sound like, you know, domestic terrorism, we could wipe this out if we just got rid of the Bills.
We just got rid of the Bills. Yeah. Hundreds of people didn't have to die if the Bills didn't lose. Did he grow up? Was he from Buffalo? I don't know.
Yeah, he was a Buffalo native.
So his connection to the
Bills. And he was in the military, and I guess he had PTSD. Yep. And, you know, he had a lot of issues, probably had depression and other things going on. And, you know, there's things with that are so much deeper than just saying, oh, he watched a football game where the Bills lost. So therefore that's what caused him to go off and create a tragedy. It's like, come on.
I know.
What world are we living in that you want to connect those two things and pretend like, it just frustrated me to no end.
Don't you love that it's like 25 years after it happened, they're just like bringing it up still. You know, it was funny. Have you ever heard the connection between, and we brought this up on the podcast before, the connection between Kim Kardashian and like her rise to fame in the Bills.
No, I've never heard this.
Oh, you never heard this? Oh, no. this is good. So if,
I only rarely listen to your podcast.
Well, you know, fair enough.
No, this was
one of the first episodes we ever did.
Last year.
And Mike brought up that had, you know, O.J. Simpson not been drafted by the Bills, they drew the conclusion that if the Bills hadn't tanked the season before O.J. Simpson was drafted, he would have never been drafted to the Bills. So he never would have met Nicole Simpson. So he never would have...
Murdered her?
Allegedly. Murdered her. And then, you know, ended up being friends with, you know, Robert Kardashian.
Who defended him.
Defended him. And that's the connection between Robert and Kim Kardashian and the sex video. And
they still would have been rich.
They still would have been rich, but the Kardashians would not have been famous because they were drawn to fame initially because of the O.J. Simpson trial and Robert Kardashian's friendship, and you know
that's a long walk.
Yes. Oh, it's almost as long as the Deadspin Timothy McVeigh / Oklahoma.
No, Politico.
Or Politico.
Deadspin called it out, so I don't want to give credit.
Oh, yeah.
No, Deadspin called it out and said, "What are you doing? This is insane." It's Politico, supposedly a legitimate journalistic political site that's supposed to be reasoned and measured. Come on,
I know.
I didn't hear that before. That's an interesting.
It's interesting, right? To see the. To see the connection, if there is one.
If only Ford hadn't produced a white Bronco, everything would have been different.
Oh, everything. And then, you know, also, you know, we talked about, I said on the Torrent podcast, you know, we did an episode, we talked about the EA Madden shooting. So in Jacksonville, Florida, there was a Madden 19 competition. I guess they do that before the season. And it was sponsored by EA, and I believe in their building. This one kid who was a Bills fan. You know, just so happened to be a Bills fan.
So
just,
you're saying there is something to this whole Bills series, what you're trying to say.
He ended up losing his game, and he shot the kid he was playing with, and he shot like four other people and killed himself. So, I mean, it's just like, it's you can make these conclusions. Sure, it's only interesting when it's the Buffalo Bills and losing four Super Bowls. It's like, what can we tie to that? What terrible other things can we tie to that?
I will say that I'm sure there's a lot of Patriots fans that have done some terrible shit.
Oh, absolutely. Probably the most heinous things.
Yeah, things imagined. that you don't want to hear.
Let's go back through history. You know, the civil rights. You know, it's issues that they've done. Terrible things that they've done to people of all races and ethnicities.
But it's just so weird how that pops up. I mean, the whole Bills thing, and it just was not a thing I was expecting to read.
Yeah,
and I mean, it's like Ace Ventura, you know, laces out.
I told laces out.
Finkel. It's not exactly like that, but
not exactly. No,
but it's that lasting effect of. Mm-hmm. But then you go back and watch that 30 for 30 when they did the four Super Bowl years,
four falls of Buffalo. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, that was such a great thing to where Norwood was embraced.
Yes.
By the Bills fans, because Bill fans are freaking awesome.
Yes,
they're not people who are domestic terrorists that are going to, you know, break some tables.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. No, we are amazing, all of us.
I think so.
Especially you, the listeners, but mostly just us.
Mostly us.
So, but I mean, Timothy McVeigh, by the way, I know you mentioned this earlier, dealing with PTSD, I mean, that's a very serious...
Yeah, it had nothing to do with that.
No. The Bills lost. Yeah, the guy, you know, what he'd seen in, you know, overseas and whatever. No, that didn't have anything to do with it. The terrible things that are part of war.
And these are serious things. And you know, people have depression. People have different things going on. And there's different triggers that could be seemingly
mental
huge.
Illness is a huge
thing. It's a huge thing. And it could be seemingly nothing, or it can be seemingly huge. And it's just so sad to read. It was a long article, too. Like, this person obviously had, like, a word limit they had to reach.
Did you read the Deadspin version or both? Or Politico, too?
I saw the Deadspin version, and then I went... To be thorough, I went and read the whole Politico version, and you know, that's some time in my life I can't get back. So
yeah, wow,
yay media,
fake news. So anyway, I wanted to give a quick fantasy football tip.
Get more points than your opponent.
Yes, that another is the hot key. Take. Another hot take. Wow, dude, you're coming in. Whew. So. Fantasy football tip. And since you're not in my fantasy football league anymore, I can give you this tip as well. I suggest everyone do it. If you're not on Twitter, please go to Twitter. Follow us at CTWBod, the Charlie Tango Sweet Pod, Circling the Wagons Pod. But what I follow is a Twitter feed called at NFL Injury News. Now, news is spelled NWS. Maybe there wasn't enough characters, so it's at NFL Injury NWS on Twitter. And put their tweets on alerts. So you will get their, you will get an actual alert on your phone when a tweet comes in, because they have up to date as soon as it happens. Like, I think it's set up by Fantasy Pros or whatever. And as soon as an injury comes up, like, you will get a message on your phone. And it's like they're either retweeting Ian Rappaport or retweeting Adam Schefter, which I don't care to get alerts from those guys because they tweet nonstop. This site does not tweet nonstop. I mean, honestly, in the offseason between football, you'll probably get like 50 tweets between January and, you know, August. So it's a great thing. I found out that Jerick McKinnon was injured right as it happened. So I picked up Alfred Morris in a bunch of leagues. So I would suggest, if you guys are fantasy football players, which I bet a lot of you are, follow at NFL Injury News NWS. Is in news, and follow us at CTW Pod. We have over 1,200 followers now. So we have more hot takes, just like Nick just mentioned. I mean, just you know, throwing it out there. And we will also be putting up songs to vote on in our Ultimate Tailgate playlist on our YouTube channel. If you search Circling the Wagons, you'll find our channel and find the Ultimate Tailgate playlist. And we're hoping to create a playlist where you can drink some beers with the crew while getting amped up for a Bills game at New Era Field, or, you know, if you do that in your own backyard with the fellas and ladies, you know, it'll be a place that you can just do that. And we're all voting on it, so it's not just, you know, what I say goes there. It's, you know, I'm putting it up for vote on Twitter, so please follow us on Twitter.
Or just Home Alone.
Or just...
you want to tip some back.
Hey.
No judgment.
We don't need to know about your normal Sunday Bills routine. So, that's cool. So we will do weekly recaps of the Bills game every week, so stay tuned. Stay subscribed for more Bills fan content and perspective. I appreciate you guys listening. So for Nick.
Go Bills.
And for me, Nate, go Bills. Thanks again for Steffi Talk Sports. And we'll talk to you guys again soon. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.